Maybe a little Elvis? Oh, thank you very much. Or how about this? How about this picture of power, of arrogance, of maybe abuse of that power? You know, this past week I was helping my daughter study for her European history class. That's always fun. And I was reading the chapter on the Enlightenment, and I was reminded of how much the United States of America was influenced by this age of reason, and how much, as Americans, we despise the word king. I mean, it was out with a king. And so here we are, as Americans, celebrating Christ the King Sunday. So what do we do with that? How do we worship a king? Well, in our passage today, in Luke chapter 23, we see this picture of Jesus on a cross. And I thought it would be good for us to examine this picture to see how we respond to the king. See, because Jesus was hanging on this cross in between two thieves. And we could really title the message today, A Tale of Two Thieves. And I want us to explore how each of these thieves responded to Jesus and see if we can maybe find ourselves in the mix. Okay? So let's go over here to this first thief. He's hanging on the cross. And when he looks over and sees this beaten, battered man, he looks and he sees the king that he was expecting to find, and he's disappointed by it. Why was he disappointed? Because he was a Jew. And the Jews had been persecuted and oppressed by king after king after king and empire. For 500 years, they had been under the oppression of somebody else. And the Jews were looking for the Messiah to come. The Messiah was the anointed one, the king. And their king, that Messiah, was supposed to overthrow the king. He was supposed to oust Caesar and bring justice and punishment to those evildoers. So when this thief is hanging on the cross and he looks over at Jesus, all he sees is a weakling, and he despises him. So here's the question for us today. What is our expectation for the king? I think as Americans, there's two camps of people and as we expect the king. The first camp are those of us who are good Americans, and how do we feel about kings? We don't need kings, right? Because we're strong. We're a government of the people. We don't need a king. But secretly, I think we all want to be king. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do because we want to rule our own king or queendom. And so we look at this weak man on the cross, and we say, you know what? Nobody's going to tell me what to do, especially not some crucified carpenter 2,000 years ago. But there's another camp that we as Americans might fall into in our expectation of the king. Maybe you feel today, kind of like the Jews, the Israelites, as they were oppressed. Maybe you feel kind of beat up today. Anybody feel that way? Because there's a lot of powers in the world still who want to beat us down. There's lots of different powers. Maybe they're political powers. I have a confession to make. We just came through the elections, right? Well, I have to confess that when I go through an election season, I feel beat up. Because I don't know what to believe or what to think. And it just seems so far out of my control, I can't do anything and I feel powerless. Or when I turn on the news and I hear another terrorist threat and everyone's living in fear, it just pushes me down. Or maybe the power that's beating you down today is an economic power. A lot of really good people, hardworking, tax-paying people, have lost their homes or their jobs, and we're struggling under this economic pressure. Or maybe the power that's beating you down today is a relational power. Maybe someone has hurt you, or someone has disappointed you, and it torments you, and it beats you down. And so when we are in a state of being oppressed like that, what do we expect from this king? We want a hero, don't we? We want somebody to come in, "Here I come to save the day." And we want them to beat up those bad guys. We want them to rip down those powers. And secretly, we want vengeance. They need to pay for what they've done to us. And so we hang on this cross with the first thief, and we look at this king of the Jews, and we think, there's no power there. And we're disappointed. So let's hop to the other side of the cross. Let's look at the second thief as he hangs on this cross, and he looks at Jesus. Look at what he says in verse 40. I love it. He says, "Shut your mouth." That's my paraphrase. He says, "What are you talking about?" to the other thief. "Are you crazy, man? Don't you see who this guy is? This man doesn't deserve what he's getting. We do." So what was different? What did this thief see that the other didn't? Because he looked at the beaten and broken face of Jesus. He saw the thorns of that crown digging into his skull and the blood running down his face and matting into his beard. But it's not what he saw, I think, that changed him. It's what he heard. Because as he heard the nails being pounded into Jesus' hands, and as he heard the crowd mocking Jesus, he heard something come out of Jesus' mouth. Jesus hung there, and he looked out over this crowd, and what did he say? He said, "Father," what? "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." You see, this thief saw Jesus for what he was. He saw a glimpse of what the kingdom of God is really all about. The kingdom of God that Jesus brought, that we studied all through Luke, he saw it in action. This thief was given the key to paradise. And you know what it was? Forgiveness. See, when we get beat up by those powers, we respond with anger. And anger turns into resentment. And resentment festers into bitterness. And bitterness, you know what it does to us? It imprisons us in this solitary confinement of self. And we become so bitter that we can't receive the love of God and we can't give the love of God. That's hell. And Jesus taught us that the key to break out of that, to come into the kingdom of God, is forgiveness. We first need to receive the forgiveness that God gives to us. And then we need to realize something. We are not in control of those powers that hurt us. We have no control over them. All we can do is let it go. And then we have to speak the three hardest words that we can speak. "I forgive you." It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. How do we do that? How do we forgive? Well, I was talking to Pastor Mark and Pastor Chris about this, and we all agreed that it's kind of like learning a foreign language. Has anybody ever tried to learn a foreign language? Yeah, so forgiveness is the language of the kingdom of God, and when we start trying to speak it, we can't. Because it's so difficult. When we speak this new language, we become like little children. We have to become preschoolers and we say, "The shirt is red." And it seems so awkward. People who learn language know that the best way to learn a language is to do what? To immerse yourself into the culture of that language so that you hear it all around you. Well, you know, I think that's what the church is supposed to be. The church, the kingdom of God on earth, is a place where we are supposed to speak the language of forgiveness. The truth is that we are going to mess it up as we stumble over this new tongue. Sometimes we'll get it right, sometimes we'll mess it up, but we need to immerse ourselves in the presence of the Holy Spirit and allow God to teach us forgiveness. You know, they say that you've really mastered a language when you start dreaming in that language. Can you imagine a church? Can you imagine a world where we dreamed in the language of forgiveness? That's the kingdom of God. One of the most powerful stories of forgiveness I've ever heard is the story of a woman named Corrie Ten Boom. Now, she's a woman who lived in Holland during World War II, and she and her family, her father and her sister, they were harboring Jews to protect them from the Nazis. Well, the Nazis eventually captured them and sent the three of them to the concentration camp. And Corrie Ten Boom actually witnessed her father and her sister be executed, gassed by the Nazis. And miraculously, she escaped from that death. And she spent her whole life going around the world preaching about the love and grace and the forgiveness of God. I want to read a passage to you that she wrote in her book, The Hiding Place. I have to read it because it's so powerful the way she puts it. She says, "It was at a church service in Munich that I saw him, the former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there, the room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, Betsy's pain-blanched face. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. 'How grateful I am for your message, Fraulein,' he said. 'To think that, as you say, he washed my sins away.' His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who had preached so often to the people at Bloomingdale the need to forgive, I kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, 'Forgive me and help me to forgive.' I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer. 'Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness.' As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, the love itself." So here we stand on Christ the King Sunday. The creator of the world is hanging on a cross, beaten and broken, and there are two thieves. Two thieves with different perspectives. One thief is disappointed and rejects him. The other thief sees the miracle and the power of the kingdom of God as the King of Kings gives himself for our forgiveness to learn his language. The question this morning is, which thief are you? Where do you hang today? You want to know the truth? We're both thieves. On any given day, we jump back and forth between thieves. But the beauty is that this king who hangs on this cross gives us His forgiveness, and He works with us as we strive to learn His language. As we dream the dream of forgiveness, and we join with Him and say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Would you stand with me as we worship this King together?